Jamie, you disappear like a phantom and appear like a gremlin.
What does that even mean?
Well, you pop up like out of nowhere.
I told you I would text you.
You're not available for like the longest stretches of time, and then all of a sudden you pop up ready to go.
Man, if you knew how busy I am, you would have sympathy for me.
This is the West Coast Project podcast for Mr. Robot, episode 3, Debug. But Jamie, if you look at the name, it's hard to find Debug because it's EPS 1.2 D3BUG.mkv.
Yep.
And we figured out the MKV. It's the Russian doll deal.
Yeah, and it's still good for Google Maps, though, because it allows you to have video and text and audio in the same file.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks. And you were hanging on to that point really strongly, so I'm glad you clarified it.
Thank you.
All right, Jamie, what episode are you on? This is episode 3 in our series, but what episode are you on?
I'm on 4, and I don't remember anything about what happened in it.
All right. Well, I'm gonna prompt some action from you tonight.
Okay, you don't have to, because I have conclusions today. I think I know some stuff.
Like what?
Okay, so I am convinced, and I have proof. I am convinced of two things. One of them is that Mr. Robot is related to Elliot. He's either his brother or his father, and I don't know which, but I'm willing to bet money on that it's one of those things. He's some sort of close male relative. And here's my proof. My proof partly is because of what happened the day when he pushed him off of that railing onto the rocks. Part of it was because, which makes me think that maybe he's his father because he told the story about his father being a criminal, but he could be his brother because the father was fired from Evil Corp and nobody knew why. So maybe he was a criminal. Maybe he stole. I don't know. But I think that either... So if Mr. Robot was a criminal, he's already a criminal. But if he's Elliot's dad, then he got fired for stealing. But so the other thing is that the reason why I think it is because Elliot shrinks away from everyone's touch. He does not like to be touched or hugged or anything. But when Mr. Robot put his hand on Elliot's back and like was rubbing his back up and down right before he pushed him, Elliot did not shrink away. So I think that dude is a relative, whether Elliot realizes it or not, and whether the audience knows it or not. That's what I think.
Oh, the audience knows everything now.
I don't know.
We're 7 weeks behind this plot.
Okay.
That's why I'm going to push it tonight.
Okay, so here's my other conclusion. My other conclusion is that Shayla gets killed.
Why?
Okay, so I think that she gets killed because, okay, so there's some pathos there, right? Elliot likes her. He maybe kind of loves her a little bit. And this whole thing happens, like the way that we were talking about it last episode, the whole thing happens with, what's that dude's name? It's not Ricardo. What is it?
Vera.
Vera. What's his name? It's not Francisco. What is it? Fernando. Fernando Vera. So the whole thing happens with Fernando. And here's what I think. I think that Fernando gets arrested and he's like arrested for charged with murder and all this stuff. And he blames Shayla and he gets out of jail and he murders her out of revenge. And then Elliot feels horrible about it. And that's why you see the tears dropping on the disc. And that's why you see him having those memories and wishing that he had never done what he did.
Okay. That's a fair projection.
Thank you. I'm very proud of myself. I felt pressured all week because I needed to produce something for you, and I think that's reasonable.
Well, you have to produce a huge reputation of credibility because everybody's seen all this and already knows what happened. So to believe that you're really guessing this stuff is like they have to really believe in you as like a truthful girl.
Hey, I am a truthful girl.
I'm not saying you're not. I'm just saying that you've only watched episode 4 and everybody else has watched like previews of season 2.
So wait a minute. Am I right?
All right. Well, let's go into it. So Tyrell starts out. Tyrell's working out. He shows his morning routine. He's dressing and running and all that bullshit. practicing his pitch for the CTO position. Even to the point where he's like criticizing himself. Don't be a cold robot, which was a pretty cool. I don't know what. What do you call that? Don't be cold robot, but he a cold robot. But he's in the show, Mr. Robot.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Irony? What is that?
Yeah, okay, so that's irony. But that dude is insane. I mean, like, he's crazy. He's crazy. Slapping himself in the face and doing all this other stuff. He's just weird.
Self-affirmations, you will be the next CTO.
Self-affirmations combined with, like, abuse. But... What do they call that in the Catholic Church? What is it? It's like when you whip yourself and stuff. What is that?
Immolation.
There you go. That's what that is.
I think that's when you set yourself on fire.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What's the other one where you just beat yourself?
Beatitude? Beatitulation. I don't know.
I don't either.
But Tyrell's hopes get nixed in the first 30 seconds of his meeting. But he does get He gets complimented for his Brioni tie.
Okay, so I
Brioni tie.
That was kind of funny and kind of sexist at the same time because that's kind of like it reminded me of what like a boss would do like way in the 1970s or something with a woman. Be like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to keep you in your place, but you're wearing a nice dress."
All right, so his goon drivers take him to the bum fight. $300 for a beatdown, Jamie. Why do I call you Jesse?
I don't know. I think it's because you think
Jesse James. It's
yes.
Yeah. But
I promise I'm not an outlaw.
Yeah, you're a criminal. It's like it's subliminal. All right, so $300 for a beatdown. What do you think of that?
Oh, God. Okay, so that was really bad. That was really bad. But it's capitalistic. I mean, the dude was like, yeah, he's ready to make some money. But it was bad.
All right, Jamie, here's where the prompting starts. Here's where all the gloves come off.
Okay.
So what do you think of the analogy of the show to Fight Club?
Okay, so here's the deal. Ever since you first said that, you said that in our first episode, and so it's kind of been there on the edge of my mind all this time. And so here's what I think. I think that if that is the case,
Did you hear that magical little...
So, I know, right?
I don't know what.
Like a magic moment. It's an alert that the truth is about to happen.
Right.
All right. So, okay. So, if it's kind of like Fight Club, I have a feeling that Elliot is maybe Tyrell, or maybe Elliot is some other character. Maybe he's Mr. Robot. I don't know. But he's somebody else. And he's confused about his identity. And he is going to have an awakening and realize that part of his reality is not real.
Okay. So Fight Club, of course, introduced us as movie viewers. I don't even know what year the movie Fight Club came out, but... There are imaginary characters that can become part of our psyche.
Right.
So Fight Club came up really early in this series as like the viewer analysis of what's really going on. Like, is Mr. Robot really real? Is he a part of Elliot's imagination? All that. So that's on the table now. The whole Fight Club theme is a part of this.
Okay,
so we get a commercial, we come back and it's we talk it's all about coders and debugging. And Elliot's got this philosophy that bugs and finding and debugging bugs are not about fixing mistakes. It's about finding the bug and figuring out the message. Like, why did the hacker initiate the bug?
Right.
And it's pretty cool because he's actually playing with a literal bug on his finger while he's thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the hospital. He's in the hospital from his falling off the pier.
Right.
And two people are waiting for him, Jamie, Krista and Shayla.
That's right.
Two interesting people in his life. Mm-hmm. And he tells them a lie. He says he got beat up by kids. And Shayla kind of leaves and Krista is left. Krista is like almost court ordered to be there.
Well, okay. So what happened was that they wanted to give him a drug test and he refused. And because he refused and he's under the care of a psychiatrist, she had to be there. They had to call her in.
Yeah, and so she says, you refused the drug panel, the drug test.
That's right.
And he admits to her, I've been taking morphine, but I'm not a junkie.
Right. So he lied.
Well, is he a junkie?
Totally he's a junkie. Okay, so that wasn't in this episode. That's next episode, but still.
Okay. All right, so he's hacked the hospital. And he finds out their IT guy is a dope.
He totally looks like a dope, though.
He's got a $7,000 a year budget to protect the network on Windows 98.
He reminds me of that dude from Office Space.
Oh, the guy with a stapler?
Yeah.
And Elliot's actually picked this particular hospital because he can hack into the records and just change anything he wants.
Yeah.
But he also lies to her and tells her, there's no more morphine. I'm not doing it anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So he does lie at that point.
Yeah.
And then the next scene cuts right away, jump cuts to him snorting some morphine.
Yes.
As he's shopping with Shayla.
Right.
Now we see the credit cards don't work, so the hack has, like, been initiated.
Yeah, and then he calls himself the bug.
And Shayla asks him if he's at any... had anything to do with Vera's arrest. And he lies to her, too, and says no.
That's right. And it seems to me like she kind of doesn't believe
him. So when Elliot and Shayla show up at his apartment, Darlene is there. She's busted, just literally broken down the door, right?
Well, she took the doorknob off.
Yeah, she's like broke it. She didn't pick the lock, she busted it.
Yeah.
And she admits that she's not the princess of social graces.
Yeah, like we were all so shocked when she said that, right?
Right. But Elliot makes her leave. And what do you think of... Okay. I'm putting some stuff on the table and I'm leaving some stuff in the closet.
Okay.
So what do you think of Darlene? Any new revelations about Darlene?
Okay, so I don't know what happens with Darlene. I don't know who she is to him. But, okay, so let's say I had a moment. I had a vision at the end of episode 3 when Elliot went into the F Society place, like that fun, what is it called, the fun whatever. So here's my moment, all right? That place is so evocative of, like, warm childhood memories, right? Kind of laced in with a little danger because the rides are dangerous at a carnival type thing. And, you know, there's potential for clowns, which are frightening and awful. And so, okay, so it's kind of like a family atmosphere. And these people live in the dark, like in this little kind of dark, little huddled, cavey type place. And so you walk in there, you kind of feel like it's a little bit like a family atmosphere. So I don't know who she is, but it's kind of like a sibling type relationship. I don't know. I mean, she could just be, you know, like an awful person and a criminal, but I don't know. Cause that, you know, like when he walked in and she was like playing skee ball or whatever that thing was. And then Mr. Robot was like behind the bar and he's kind of like, you know, leaning over, looking at both of them. And it just kind of seemed like he came home from school and he's setting up his computer. And, you know, I don't know. It was weird.
What does your gut tell you about Darlene, though?
I don't know. I mean, she's so cold and she's
good guy or bad guy?
I still think she's a bad guy.
Okay. All right, so we cut to a scene where Angela is running, and she finds somebody who drops a purse, picks it up, and gives it back to him, but he's a robber.
Right.
She's just given the purse back to the person who's stolen it from another person. And that person rushes up and says, "You just gave my purse away to the guy who just stole it from me."
Right. Okay, so this is a little bit funny, and it was kind of interesting because it was an illustration of what Elliot was talking about. Like, his voiceover was saying that whatever our bug is kind of brings out who we are. And, you know, it has either a bad effect or a good effect or whatever it was that he was saying. And then you see it illustrated in what Angela did. She was trying to be a good person, but she ended up helping, you know, a criminal to get away with what he was doing.
We have another scene where Ollie's been hacked and Stella's naked pictures are shared. So she's pissed off.
Right.
Ollie actually at this point criticizes Angela that she's been too nice. Like the wallet examples. The wallet is an example of that.
Yeah. He said she's too good for this world.
Okay. So the next scene, did you understand this? This whole Cisco? He gets a call in a disguised voice and tells him he has 100 hours to do what they want, which is essentially to put the CD into play at AllSafe.
That's right.
Or everything's going to be released. All the info is going to be released.
Right.
So did you recognize Cisco? Cisco is the kid selling the CDs on the street.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I made a note here. I don't know if I should say it yet, but I'm just going to say it.
Okay.
Cisco is Darlene's ex-fiancé.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. All right. So that's already cool. All right. Yeah. So, and the problem is Angela's pictures, all her finances and her father's finances are on the laptop that's been hacked.
Yep.
All right. So that's a little bit of an early tip off in this episode. But then we get to another commercial. We come back and Gideon wants them to monitor more than just the logs. He wants them to monitor like social media and everything. And while he's doing that, while he's talking to everybody, Elliot just is daydreaming and he misses all these comments. And Elliot misses even the invitation to Gideon's dinner.
That's right.
And he wants to kind of turn Gideon down. He doesn't want him talking about his personal life. And he says this is how he closes off the bugs. There are no bugs in his life because he lets no one in.
Right. Yeah.
There's no source. There's no open source to Elliot's life.
Yeah. He said it's a maze. He's got a maze.
When he comes back from that, though, Jamie, Mr. Robot is sitting at his desk and notices the pretty redhead.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know if that was his desk. I thought it was like the entry area near the, like, I don't know, administrative assistant or something. But yeah, he's sitting there and then notices the redhead and then says things that I cannot believe came out of a person's mouth.
Like what?
Like, he's like, what do you say? He totally depersonalized that woman. He said, look at that, or that's nice, or something like that. Completely, you know, taking her humanity out of it. And then after that, when Elliot's like, hey, stop it, or something, he's like, okay, I was trying to be your wingman, and, you know, now I can't be a good wingman.
Because of redheads, or what?
I don't know. It was just so
crazy. He wouldn't say that if he just appreciated how hot the redhead was, though.
Right. So I don't get it. I don't know. He's weird.
So, Jamie, nobody notices Mr. Robot. Have you noticed that? I tried to tip you off in an earlier podcast where he's blasting away at the ducks on the game at the skee ball at the arcade. He's blasting away a freaking rifle game, bam, 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 and nobody even, like, hears it.
Oh, are you going to tell me that's Elliot?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just saying
that he's... Oh, God. And so when he got pushed off of that railing, he threw himself off the railing.
I'm just saying nobody seems to notice Mr. Robot. When he's in scenes, he's conspicuously unnoticed by other people except for Elliot.
Oh, that's so bizarre.
So that's the whole Fight Club-y, like, what are we doing with Mr. Robot? And we're going to see more of it later in this episode, so we can explore that as we get to it. Okay. But Mr. Robot wants to talk next door, and here we are. He wants to go next door to the bar and talk. And it's one of those cool New York bars where everything's really narrow. Like, there's no room at all in the bar.
Right.
It's totally narrow. Like, the wall behind you is, like, 1.5 feet behind you, and it's like long and narrow.
Yeah.
It goes in instead of out. But he's drinking an apple teeny, Mr. Robot.
And that was so bizarre.
And Elliot orders one, and it's a $12 apple teeny, which probably never freaking gets ordered at this bar. This is like a shot and vodka bar, right?
Yeah, or like a Boilermaker bar.
So the bartender, the way he looks at Elliot when he orders this apple teeny is like, you gotta be fucking kidding me, dude.
Exactly.
It's either another apple teeny or an apple teeny. It's like the first one or the second one. Either way, it's like it does not belong in this bar.
Right.
And so Elliot and Mr. Robot talk. And so Elliot asks Mr. Robot what he wants. And Mr. Robot gives him this interesting advice that your dad would have wanted to apologize to you, that sometimes pushing a kid away is just easier. So, Jamie, sometimes pushing a kid away is just easier than dealing with him.
Uh-huh.
On the heels of what we just talked about with the peer, what do you think about that?
Okay, so... So part of this is like what makes me feel like maybe he's his dad, because at some point during that conversation, he calls him kid. And so I don't know. Maybe if it is kind of Fight Club-y and Elliot is projecting this dude and like he doesn't really exist, then he is trying to have a relationship with his father.
Who do you want Mr. Robot to be?
Well, I don't want him to be a figment.
And you don't want him to be like a ghost or just a phantom in his mind?
No.
All right. Well, Elliot asks about the plan, and Mr. Robot says, well, without you, there is no plan.
Right.
And he concludes, and they go on a little bit more, but Mr. Robot concludes this with, see you in another life.
Right.
So what does that mean?
Well, you know, I don't know, because that's more argument for your view that maybe Elliot is protecting this dude and he really wants him to be his dad. His dad is dead and there's no getting around that. But Elliot, you know, if that were his dead father, then that's what his dead father would say. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I want to believe that it's maybe his dad or his brother and that he's alive and he's real.
You know, I got to say, it's not any fun having my view. I'd rather have your view, not knowing and like me prompting you and goading you. And like, I'd rather be guessing than leading.
Well, I appreciate you for being my leader.
All right. Well, Elliot can't believe that the whole thing's over, but it seems like he's ready to accept, like, okay, plan's over. Without me, there's no plan. It's over.
Right.
Now I can be normal. I'll have Shayla as my girlfriend. I'll go watch Marvel movies with her. I'll join the gym. I'll get vanilla lattes.
Right.
Yeah, what were you going to say? I'll heart things on Facebook?
On Instagram.
Yeah, so he's like ready to dive back into like, or dive for the first time into a normal life.
That's right.
And he goes back to work and he sees Gideon, and Gideon asks him he asks Gideon if he can come to that dinner that he rudely refused like, what, an hour ago?
Yep.
And and invite my girlfriend. I'll come there with my girlfriend. Right. So Gideon's like, what the fuck? He's like, right. Ask somebody else, did I just see Elliot walking around with a Starbucks drink?
That's right.
All right, so we get another commercial. Tyrell's going to go out to a club, but he needs permission from his Swedish wife, Joanna. And she just says, well, it's part of the deal. Got to do it.
Yeah, she's like the opposite of warm and engaging.
What is she?
Like really cold and difficult. Very determined woman.
All right, so we jump to Elliot literally asking Shayla to be his girlfriend and to go to that party at Gideon's house.
That was so romantic.
He says, come on, it'll help me with my social situations. Mm-hmm. And she says, no, I don't think so. Just ask Darlene. What'd you think about that?
She says, are you seriously asking me that right now? Why don't you ask that chick who was over there before?
All right, well, tit for tat. That's what she says, though. Pretty much, go ask Darlene if you want to go to that party so much.
Uh-huh.
And Elliot, for a brief moment, flashes back to the time where he had hacked Shayla. And while he's doing that flashback in his mind, she says, not the me online, the real me, which is really an interesting time switch.
Yeah.
Like, don't think about me that you hacked. Think about the real me.
Right. And there was another moment of that, like a few seconds further on in the conversation, where the same thing happens again. And it was kind of like a kind of kismet type moment, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, she shows him her real life sewing.
Yeah.
Her real life passion is sewing and creating these textile, like really cool projects. Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, there's a lot about us that can't be hacked, right? We're so human that can't hack everything. It's not all digital yet.
Right. That's true. I think that, you know, and especially because of things like, you know, Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, a lot of times whoever's out there, the person that people can hack is a lot of times a persona. It's not always the person.
This scene made me really happy that everything we do isn't quite digitized yet.
I agree.
So Elliot asks Shayla if he can kiss her.
Yeah.
And Shayla says, next time, just don't ask.
Yeah, but before he could get it out of his mouth, she was on him.
So you remember this, Jamie.
Okay.
Next time, don't ask.
What?
You might already know that if you've seen episode 4. I can't remember why. I remember why. I don't know when it happens, but... So Elliot talks to himself and says, well, this bug was exhilarating. Pretending I could be in a real world is pretty exhilarating.
Yeah, and not only that, but like he felt a real connection with Shayla, like a real kind of cosmic type connection, because he saw her as being on the outside too. And that was, you know, that we're geniuses, because we were talking about that a few episodes ago and saying, you know, when you have social anxiety, you're kind of on the outside looking in. And that's exactly what he said. He said, maybe she's on the outside just like me.
No, there's no genius, dude. I've seen the whole show.
Well, I haven't.
All right, well, you can be a genius.
Okay.
I'll be your keeper. Okay. All right, so Tyrell. Okay, now I said this show didn't get crazy till episode 4. It starts to get a little crazy at this
point. Oh, my God, yes. I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, we'll talk about episode 4 when we talk about it. But Tyrell, well, it goes to this club because he knows that his boss's secretary is going to be there. It's a gay club.
Right.
Goes up, kisses him, takes him home, mm-hmm. and this whole plot to discover who the other CTO candidate for the job is.
That's right.
And then we get a commercial. What other show did you do, or did me and Michelle do, Michelle and I do, where the candidate had to be gay to get their ultimate goal? Was it Mr. Robot the whole time?
I don't know.
No, it was Halt and Catch Fire.
Okay.
All right, never mind. I'm going to edit that part out. Because the guy was bi. He was, like, into being gay. But he uses the same sexual tactics to get his ultimate goal.
Oh, you know what? That happened kind of on the Americans, too. Remember the sex training?
Yeah, but they're not gay. They're doing that for purely...
Well, okay, so, but I think maybe Tyrell did the same thing.
You think so? You don't think he's gay?
Okay, so here's the reason why. The reason why is because he was checking his pulse with his watch at the moment of completion. And I don't think he actually, you know, like, it looks like the other guy had a moment, but it doesn't look like Tyrell had a moment. Tyrell was doing it for the workout, it looked like, to me.
He's trying to figure out how many calories he burned. Why would he care? Why would he even wonder about that?
Well, because if he was bored and he's just like, let me do this so I can get this guy's phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we get a commercial, come back to Gideon's party. Elliot introduces Angela to Shayla and to Ollie. We see Harry. Harry's the kid who opens the door because the doorbell doesn't work.
Yeah, and then Lloyd, right? Lloyd was there too.
Who's Lloyd?
The other coworker.
Okay.
The Asian guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's lots of male secretaries in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a gay thing? You think that's part of a...
No, I think it's a modern thing.
Okay. Well, Harry asked Angela and Ollie how long they've been together.
Whoa, wait a minute. Did we just miss the rest of that scene? The scene with Tyrell?
Well, yeah. He has sex with the guy, gets the phone, packs the phone, gets the...
I have to tell you what happened in that scene, though.
Okay.
Okay. So, did you see what he did? Because he rooted that phone. And... What happens when you root a phone like that is that you get complete administrative privileges to the phone, and you cannot be detected. Like what he rooted as a super user, and when you do that, it's like you're the operating system. Like you cannot be detected, and you have privileges to do all kinds of things, including this thing called man in the middle, which is where you can intercept a message before it actually gets to the person who has the phone. And you can edit it, you can erase it, you can make changes, you can do anything you want to that message before it gets to the person. So he has the ability to, he has complete control over that guy's whole digital life as long as he's using that phone.
Well, Jamie, let me remind you that Tyrell is a candidate for CTO.
Right.
He's not just a stumble bum trying to get like an entry-level job here.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he's doing. He's taking control in the only way that he can.
Okay. Well, he does a good job of that. Yeah, you're right. He has like some massive, like he pulls the chip out of the phone and puts his own in. Then he has some software that he does some crazy stuff. Like the phone has to run some software to send it back to his phone that gives him that control. Then he deletes all tracks of it.
Right. Well, okay. So when you root a phone, you're putting, like, basically that software acts as, it has as many privileges as the operating system, which means that the operating system cannot detect it. And so it can do anything your operating system can do. So imagine anything you could do on your computer, create something or on your phone, create something, send something, receive something. It can intercept all that, just like the way that an operating system would.
Yeah, like just like what I did with your Skype.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I'm all crossed up now. Where the hell did we leave off? We're at the party.
We left off at... the party.
They were in the elevator and all that stuff happened. So we're at the party.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before the elevator, all that stuff happened. We're at the party and Harry asked Angela and Ollie how long they've been together.
Mm-hmm.
And Ollie says 2.5 years and Angela says 2 years, like simultaneously.
Uh-huh.
So Jamie, you're a girl, I'm a guy. It's not a good thing when the girl estimates their time together as less than the time that the guy estimates.
Yes, that's correct.
It fact, it's usually the exact opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Guys will be like, I don't know, a couple of years. And girls will be like, no, we've been together 7 years, dude.
Okay. Yes, that's right.
And they asked, and Harry asked the same question to Elliot and / Shayla. How long have you guys been together? And Elliot says, today.
I loved that. And I loved that Shayla thought it was so funny.
And while that all happens, Angela, like, angrily pours herself a full drink. Like, she just empties the bottle of wine into her glass.
It reminded me of that moment in Breaking Bad when they had that funny dinner when Jesse was there eating the green beans and Skyler was drinking that soup bowl full of wine. And she's, like, pouring glass after glass of wine and just, like, guzzling it at the table.
Yeah, ignoring his questions.
Right.
Yeah, totally. So Angela's jealous, right? She doesn't like hearing about Elliot and Shayla.
I don't know. Okay.
It's jealousy. Come on. What is it? If it's not jealousy, what is it?
Okay, so I think she felt uncomfortable. And I know, I told you last time, she's got to like Elliot, but I don't know what that was. I don't know if she was uncomfortable or if she was just not having a great time. But the thing is, I think you're probably right, because later on, guess where they were? They were together sitting on the balcony or whatever.
Yeah, I think there's romance pending between Elliot and Angela. Even though they're like 8-year-old friends from childhood, that's all cool, that's all great, but there's a tension there that's got to be recognized.
Oh, yeah, surely. I don't know if anything will ever happen with it, because it's probably one of the driving forces in the show, but yeah.
All right, well, Gideon gets Elliot aside. Gideon's a clever bastard.
Gideon. He is.
He gets Elliot aside and tells him that he had a meeting with the Dulles admin, sysadmin people, whoever checks the server back at the home base. And don't worry, there was nothing. But he's just fishing him, right? He's like saying this to prompt him to say, oh, good, I'm glad there was nothing. But he tells him he's all in the clear. And at that point, Elliot admits the signature was in there. And Gideon hugs him. So he like give him a chance to like escape, but Elliot admits, okay, I know the signature was in there, and that's why, kind of admits why he did it. He was interested in the technology of it. And Gideon hugs him, and it was a pretty funny moment where Elliot's like, oh, God, he's going to hug me.
Right.
I like that. I like that whole scene, though, where Gideon tries to fool him, and Elliot's totally into it, onto it.
Yeah.
All right, Elliot and Angela now share a moment where they go outside, like you said, and they talk about their childhood events and how they would run away together during afternoons. And it was a pretty cool little scene. Elliot fantasizes the normal life, like dinner parties and childhood stories like this and all this stuff that's pretty much happened today in his life.
Right, and he says he can't get used to it.
But they start to see TV news stories at the party about the hacking, the scandal of the hacking.
Right.
And they learn that Colby, the guy that Elliot originally set up as a like dupe, he actually really knew about the toxic waste danger where, I guess, 26 people had died at Eagle Corp, and he shut it all down to save costs and just bailed on the whole thing. But that was what killed Elliot's dad and Angela's mom.
Yep. Yeah, and he said the news report said something like that he didn't care about the fact that these people were dying because it was cheaper than the lawsuits. Like, it would have been more expensive to change the system or the way that they were processing whatever it was than to pay the lawsuits.
Yeah, it was a financial decision, or it was a numerical decision over like a personal. And we've seen that before, too, like
right.
Car companies, like, well, it's okay if 28 people get killed in car crashes because the seatbelt's not good enough, because it would cost more to pay the seatbelt fix than the lawsuit fix for people.
Yeah.
Pretty sad. So Elliot comes back to his reality, his like dark reality upon seeing this, like, okay, there is no normal life. This is like the way it is. So I have to continue to unravel this. So the commercial, we get a commercial. Elliot comes back. It's a flashback of him and his mother.
Yeah.
Pretty brutal. Your father did this to himself. Don't be weak like him. You can't say that to a little kid as a mother.
No.
And then the bus pulls up and blocks them out. Then I guess they get on the bus, because when the bus leaves, it's Elliot, adult Elliot, left behind.
Okay, so, yeah, and his, like, the voiceover that he did was really, really cool at that moment. But I want to talk about what his mother said, because she said that stuff, like what you just said, that he was a coward, he did this to himself, which makes me wonder if he killed himself. Like, if the father is not Mr. Robot, and the father is maybe Elliot's brother or something, maybe the dad didn't die from leukemia or whatever. Maybe he killed himself.
So what do you think?
I don't know.
What do you think if you had, like, you're in Las Vegas, somebody says, Jamie James, give me $10. And if you're right, I'll give you $1 million. Just tell me who Mr. Robot is.
I would say it's Elliot's dad.
Okay. All right, well, that tells me who you really think he is.
Do I get $1 million?
Yeah, if you can find that guy in Las Vegas.
So mean.
All right, so Terrell's now back with the mail secretary. They're jumping around between scenes. We jumped ahead and back and forth and all this crazy crap, but he steals that phone data, and he figures out the name of the CTO candidate is Scott Knowles.
That's right.
I forget where Scott Knowles shows up in the future, but... Episode 4?
Yeah. No, we haven't seen him yet.
Okay. All right, so next scene, Ollie and Angela. Ollie wants to talk, but Angela does not want to talk.
No, she doesn't.
And he tells Angela the bad news. He forces the whole issue. What do you think about this whole scene, Jamie, where the guy, he just wants his needs addressed. Mm-hmm. He doesn't care about Angela's needs. Like, look, I just need to not talk about this. But he needs to talk.
He better talk.
He does. Well, yeah. Okay. So that's interesting that you say that. When you say he better talk, he'd better talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. He's okay. So the dude is in a terrible position. I mean, he's put himself in it, but he's still in a really bad position because, you know, either he tells her or she's going to find out.
Yeah, but... But he could have done it better. Man, he could have said, okay, I understand you're like, I don't even know what she is at this point, retreating to yourself, to your own inner psyche or whatever, but I really need to tell you this. But he just blathers his way ahead.
Yeah, actually, that was part of the reason why I hate him a little bit less. Because I feel like there was some sincerity there. Even though he's trying to save his own skin, and he's gross because he cheats, he still, you know, there was some sincerity. And so that kind of wins a point with me.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff at stake because of his misdeeds here. Mm-hmm. So he tells Angela the whole bad news, like the computer's been hacked. You know, you're on the computer. I guess we know at this point that her pictures are on the computer. Certainly her financial data, her father's financial data. And she just says, look, dude, we need to break up. My solution is this, is that we need to break up.
Yep.
But I did not like the way this whole conversation progressed to where she says, ultimately, I'm sorry, I'm scared, I don't want to break up. What was that transition?
Okay. So I don't know the future, but I will tell you what it seems like to me. It seems to me that she made a decision in that moment and that she is going to do what is right for her and for her dad. It could be a couple of things. First, if the writing is really good and it's very kind of dimensional writing and it's not sticking to like really typical kinds of tropes, then maybe it's just a complex relationship and she really does need him, but she also wants to get what she needs out of the situation, and she's decided to do that instead of looking out for the best situation for their couplehood and looking out for herself and her dad instead, because that's what he did for himself. He looked out for himself first by cheating on her. So if it's really good writing, maybe that's what it is. If not, then if it's a little bit more simplistic, then maybe she's just going to manipulate him because she needs to protect herself and her dad. And on another level, if it's really kind of very kind of ordinary writing, then, you know, she gave up and she's, you know, fragile or weak or whatever, and she's just wants her guy. So I don't know.
No, she's not it's not ordinary. It's not ordinary writing. She's not giving up for sure.
Well, I don't think so either, but those are the options.
But we get bailed up by commercial here, Jamie. We come back and Gideon is looking at all the evidence. He's looking at that C-30 server at Dulles where he had yellow highlighted something. Did you stop your screen and look at that?
No.
Looks like he was looking at something from that server. I don't know if it was the signature.
Oh, you're talking about Gideon. Gideon?
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, no, it's okay. So I did see that. Gideon is checking up on what Elliot did. He doesn't believe what Elliot did. Like, what Elliot said that he did, he doesn't believe it. He's double checking, triple checking, actually, because this is the second time he's gone back on this thing after the results have come. And so what he was looking at is a particular line in the log. So this is a printed out log of what actually was captured of the activity on the computer, you know, through a logging system. And so it shows what actually occurred, like every step of the processing that happened and the input that happened into that system. That's what he's looking at. And it's Elliot's report. As you saw, his name was on there. And there's this one highlighted line, and I couldn't see what it was. Like, I didn't read it, and I don't know, even if I had read it fully, like, all it had was, like, an HTTPS on there and then, like, some other stuff. So it shows something, but I don't know what it was, and I don't think I could have understood it even if I had seen it, like, seen it fully.
Okay, so in the show's universe, Jamie, rank these people's knowledge of what's going on in the plot.
Okay.
From 1 to 10.
Okay.
Okay, Gideon.
4.
Ooh, that's low.
I don't think that's low.
Okay. Elliot.
10. Oh, no. Maybe not.
Tyrell.
Like 7.
Interesting. So Gideon's way lower, whether he's a 4 or a 6 or whatever. He's pretty much lower than other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, Tyrell, all right, how about the same thing? 1 to 10, show universe, insanity of people.
Okay.
Gideon.
Gideon? Aw, 1.
So he's sane. 1 is sane, 10 is insane.
Uh-huh.
Elliot.
8.
Whoa. Holy shit. All right, Tyrell.
10.
That's what I was looking for. Tyrell comes home to his wacky wife, Joanna.
Uh-huh.
And we haven't met Joanna yet, have we?
Uh-huh. We've met her. She came into the closet when Tyrell was getting ready to go out to the club to seduce the administrative assistant.
Okay. Well, we haven't met her on her back with her bare belly and her hands getting tied down.
That was so weird.
So while Tyrell does that to her, which she's, like, asking him to do, they scheme what to do with Knowles and his wife, which essentially is to invite them to dinner and manipulate them, I guess. While he's tying her up, they talk about this. But it was really cool that the opera music from Allsafe's office spanned across Allsafe, the Wellick bedroom, and the skee ball game at F Society.
Yep.
And then, so anything about that scene with Tyrell and his wife, Joanna, anything you want to say about that? I mean, what else is there?
Okay, so they have a beautiful bedroom. That's about all I can say.
And that a lot of equipment.
Yeah, oh, God. Okay, so that was disconcerting. I don't want to talk about
it. Like, he just screwed this other guy, right, earlier that night.
It's just gross. I don't know. I mean, they're weird. Ugh.
And he's like, I'm tired. Come on, I'm tired. I'm working the plan. I got the plan. I did what I had to do. You're not done with your work yet, honey.
You're right. She's all like, and she's so flat. Like, her effect is so flat.
Oh, she's not flat. She's pretty rounded.
No, we're talking about, like, her demeanor. Like, she's not...
Matter of fact, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, she's not necessarily the most effervescent personality in the room.
All right, so this whole opera... Did you recognize the opera music? I don't know it. I'm sorry. I can't offer it to the podcast.
It may be Madame Butterfly, but I'm not sure.
But it spans the... Allsafe office where Gideon's talking, the Wellick bedroom, and then the skee ball game or the skee ball scene at F Society. Elliot sits down at his computer and says, here's the plan. Bam. And the episode ends.
Yeah. But did you notice when he was opening his laptop for just a brief moment, the E for Evil Corp like was reflected on the back of his laptop screen? It looked like a reflection because it disappeared after a second.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
We'll leave it at that.
All right.
And that's it for episode 3 of Mr. Robot.
Pretty
cool show though, Jamie, right? Like, even at 3, did you buy into the whole series at this point?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I was 100% in at episode 1.
Okay, how do people reach you if they want to argue with you about that?
On Twitter, I'm at WordGirly.
I'm at ScathingTweets, and this is West Coast Project / Mr. Robot.